not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And tonight is the subject of boastings. Boastings. And the previous lesson, we talked about evil speaking and judging and kind of continues that thought a bit. But to have boastings. Boasting is simply pride. Boasting. And some of this here, you know, is it wrong to say we'll go into a city and stay there and buy and sell and get gain? It's not wrong, right, to go and to provide for your family, things of that nature. But the problem is this. In verse number 15, God corrects that thought and he says, for that ye ought to say. God always corrects the wrong and gives us the truth of what we should do. Right? God doesn't just say, don't do this. He tells you what is right to do. He says, you ought to say. And here's the difference. If the Lord will. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. The problem is, too many times, our plans take God out of the equation. Right? We start our day and said, I've got this to do and that to do. And God says, hold on a second. What about my will? Yeah, in our Sunday school class and here this last week, we talked about prayer with the model prayer, and it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And instead of saying, God, today, this is what I'm going to do, or telling other people, here's what I'm going to do today, saying, God, what would you want me to do? Or, Lord willing, this is what will happen. And so talking about boasting. Boasting is pride. Boasting is self-confidence. It's bragging speech. And really bragging, it's empty speech. Bragging is saying something that we don't know true of what is going to happen. See, we can make guarantees of what's going to happen, but really it's just our best guess, isn't it? And we can guess how today is going to go, and it may be right, but God can change that. And God is truly the only one that knows what will happen, and God is the only one that can truly make something happen. Because God gives us the ability, the strength, the knowledge, whatever it may be. And so this boasting really is pride. And saying, God, this is what I'm going to do. Telling other people, here's what I'm going to do. And say, God willing, this is what will happen. But thy will be done. Boastings are evil if it has nothing to do with God. Instead of putting our confidence in ourselves, we should put confidence in God. And that's the problem there. Confidence in ourselves is wrong. Putting confidence in God is right. So talking about boastings tonight, and there's 3 points we'll look at tonight. The first is this. I give you, see, a preacher tells you how many points, so you know how long it's going to be. You can gauge how long it is. We were at a pastor's conference, I think it was last year, 2 years ago maybe, and the preacher preached from a chapter in Proverbs and preached a point from every single verse. And I'm sitting in the seats thinking, there's 31 verses in here. This is going to be a long message. You think you're the... See, you're not the only one that does that too. Just wanted to help you out with that. So 3 points tonight. That was sidetracked. And so first one is this. Boastings, what is wrong with that? Because this, there's a shortness of life. A shortness of life. As you look at verse number 14, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We'll get to that point in a minute. It says this, for what is your life? What is your life? People ask themselves, what is my life? What is my purpose today? What does God have me here for? All people, everyone, Christians or not, ask themselves, what is the purpose of my life? What am I doing? What am I accomplishing? It says, for what is your life? And God tells you here, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. God puts so many truths in the Bible. This is one of those visuals. When you read this verse, do you get a visual in your mind? Are you a visual person? And it says, it's a vapor, it appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. And you've got that water boiling on the stove, and if you're ready to eat, that water cannot boil fast enough. And like if I stir it, put salt in it, put a top on it, crank it up, what can I help to speed up this process? And you see it boiling and the steam comes out. But the steam comes out for a moment and then it disappears and it's gone. The Bible says our life is like that vapor, that steam. It appears for a little bit and it vanisheth away. I was looking it up today, the person that has lived the longest, verified, or just in recent years, someone that's lived the longest is a female, of course, because ladies outlive the guys, probably because of our own stupidity. But she lived 122 years and odd number of days. That's a long time. 122 years. You think of that for someone that lives 100 plus years, you think about all they have gone through in their life. You go back 100 years, man, think about all that they went through. Well, then you go back to the Bible, you think of Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years. Think about this. He almost lived 1,000 years. That's a long time. That's almost 10 times longer than the longest people will ever live. But you know, we know about Methuselah. He lived 969 years and he died. The length of our life is not the most important thing. It's what do you do with the life that God has given to you. See, life is short. I'm not trying to depress you with it today, but we have a birth date and then we have a date of our death or of Christ's return. We don't know that end date, do we? We could guess. With young people, many times we try to tell them that because young people think, I'm going to live forever, you know, or I've got so much time. You don't know that. See, life is short. And I think the older you get, you realize how precious and how fragile life can be, isn't it? Loved ones passed away, someone gets sick, unexpected things happen, and we see that there's a shortness of life. Our life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You think in the time from God's creation until now, thousands of years, our life is short. Our life is short. But what are we doing with the life that God has given to us? We went to the coast this summer. We went on the beach. And if you go to the coast over here and it's sunny, we had the perfect sunny, nice, clear day. And that happened for a while. And we're playing on the beach and having some fun there at Agate Beach, I think it was. And all of a sudden, the clouds come rolling in. And it's like they just appeared out of nowhere. But it's amazing how the clouds appear and then they disappear. And that's our lives, where they come and they go shortly. May we remember that life is short. And first point under this tonight, our shortness of life, is understand that life is temporary. As you see in Psalms 90, verse 10, it says, the days of our years are 70 years. That God says the lifespan of a person is average of 70 years. Now, average lifespan today, many people live 77, 78 years or so. But he says about 70 years. I don't want to discourage anyone in that age range tonight. And then it continues on to say, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. 80 years. The Bible says, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. That our life is short, that life is temporary. But thinking about this, not only is life temporary, but eternity is forever. The Bible says in that same passage in Psalms 90 and verse 12, it talks about the length of our days. God gives us an age range, 70 to 80 years. But then it says this in verse number 12, it says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So if God gives you this amount of time, if the Lord will, number your days. Doesn't mean count how many days you've lived, how many days you have left, but every day that God has given you, to make that day count for the Lord. Because guess what? We don't have any days or any time to waste. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, so make today count for the Lord. You ever do that countdown? You're going on a trip or you have something coming up. We started that with our kids, but I think we trained a monster with that. You know, you get to a point where you're like, don't tell the kids till we're in the car. You know what I'm talking about? So you don't hear about it 10,000 times before you get in the car. You're like, hey, we're going on a trip. Engaged couples are notorious for that, putting the countdown of how many days till you get married. The Bible says teach us to number our days. Why? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed the rest of today. Making every day count for the Lord, that life is short, but also understanding this, that eternity is forever. See, some people think this, life is short, live it up. Life is short, party it up, have all the fun that you can. If you're only living for this life, party it up, right? If there's no eternity, if there's no heaven or hell and no God, we'll live up today. But there is a God, and there is an eternity, and there is a heaven or hell. And so that's why we must not live for today, but we're living for eternity's sake. The Bible says in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. It says where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. People just living for today. But it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Too many people are living for today, living for this life, living for the next paycheck and the next fun, instead of living for eternity. As Christians, we're not living for today, we're living for eternity. We're keeping eternity in view with every day that God has given to us. So are you living for today or for eternity? But also, are you living for yourself or are you living for God? Too many people are living for self. It's all about me and I and making me happy. That's a society we have today, isn't it? Make you happy no matter how it affects anybody else, no matter if it's right or wrong, as long as you are happy with it. Well, guess what? You're not going to be happy if you're not living for God. You can do all the fun and have all the stuff the world has to offer, but if you're not living for God and for eternity, you're never going to be happy. So understand that life is short. Understand number two with this, that not only is there shortness in life, but there's uncertainty in life. Uncertainty. As you go to verse number 13, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, you know, just kind of flippantly throwing days out there. We will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Just boasting of tomorrow. Again, when we're not guaranteed it. Verse 14, it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You know that we can make guarantees today, but they're not guarantees. You can go to a business and they say, we guarantee our product's going to last. But what do? We guarantee it's going to last. But if and when it doesn't, here's what we'll do. Because we can't truly guarantee anything, can we? Only God can make guarantees. We can't. You know, you watch the weather. You look at the app. Even this. I have the weather app for Reading. And if I look at someone else, I'm like, how come mine says it's going to rain and yours says it doesn't? Who's lying to me here? You know, you look at the weather and it says it's going to be a sunny day tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and it's cloudy. You think, what was that all about? It's not going to rain. And then it downpours. You're like, you can't trust these guys. Why? Because life is uncertain. We have the common phrase, don't count your chickens before they've hatched. Now, I never had, well, I guess we did have chickens, but our dog ate them before they hatched, so that wasn't a problem there. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Why? Because life is uncertain. We're not guaranteed health. We're not guaranteed another day of life. We're not guaranteed finances or home or things. The healthiest person could pass away tomorrow. I mean, you could be all into your health, everything about it. You know, we're going to live forever. I mean, pretty much that's what people are doing today, aren't they? You know, all the health and workout stuff, you never know. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. The wealthiest person can lose everything in a moment. In a moment, gone, because there's no guarantees. The strongest structure could fall in a day, in a moment. The most powerful country could be gone tomorrow. We have no guarantees. There's an uncertainty about life. I read this story about an old preacher. He came across the path of an old gypsy woman, and she said, give me a piece of silver, and I'll tell your fortune. I'll tell your future. And he said, well, let me get this straight. So if I give you a piece of silver, you can tell me what I'm going to be doing tomorrow at this time. And she said, yes. And he said, okay, how about this? Instead of that, I'll double it, and I'll give you double of what you ask if you can tell me what I did yesterday at this time. And the deal was off. Because you can't guarantee tomorrow. You have those people, I'm going to tell your future. Tomorrow, you're going to meet someone and give a generic name. You're like, oh, it happened. You're like, you're not telling the future. That's a bunch of junk, all right? So number one under this uncertainty in life is don't trust in man. Don't trust in man. See, this person here says, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. Here's what they're saying, putting confidence in me. I'm putting confidence in my strength, my wealth, my abilities. The Bible says in Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. See, it's better to trust in God than in you and other people. Why? Because people fail. People forget. But God never fails. So don't trust in man, but put your trust in God. Instead of saying, I'm going to go do this, say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Say, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but whatever God wants, that's what will be done. You follow God and his will. Guarantees from man are nice, but they're not fully trustworthy. I mean, it sounds good. You're going to buy a product. Do you not check the reviews? Do you not check the guarantee? How long are they going to guarantee their product? They're nice, but there's no guarantee in life other than it comes from God. Because here's the thing. God is trustworthy every time. God is trustworthy every time. Say, God, I'm going to do this. You can't guarantee it. But if God says it, it will happen. That's why when you read God's word and God promises it, it has happened or it will happen. It's a guarantee. You can take that one to the bank. Guarantees that we have, God will never change. The guarantee that we have that God's word is perfect, and the guarantee that salvation is forever. Other than that, we don't have guarantees in life, but what comes from God. So understand, first of all, that life is short. Number two, that there's an uncertainty in life as well. But then number three, understanding this, that there's responsibilities in life. Look at verse number 17. Look at this verse. It says, therefore to him, it's kind of concluding here, therefore, because of what has been said, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This person that said, I'm going to go and do all these things. Well, what about the good you know you're supposed to do? Most people think it's sin just to do wrong. And it is. There's a whole lot of thou shalt not in the Bible that's wrong. But you know, it's even sin to not do right when you know better. When you know the principle, the truth, when it's been preached or taught to you, you are now responsible for what you've been given. We're responsible for what God has given to us. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. See, when we've been given much, there's much that's being asked of us. And when God has given much, he's asking the more. And so when we know to do right, and when we don't do that, the Bible says that is sin. So when it's time for church and we're staying home, not because we're sick or something along those lines, well, that's sin. We know we're supposed to walk with God. That's a command. If we don't do it, well, that's sin. If I'm supposed to tithe and to the Lord, if I don't do it, that's sin. You say, but they're not doing it. It has nothing to do with them. What is right between you and God? There's responsibility. So when you've been taught, as your parents would say to the children, you know better. You know better than that. You know, they say, well, so-and-so did it. Well, you know better than that. I taught you better. And so I have a higher level of expectation for you than they did. See, here's the thing. There's responsibilities of what you've been taught. You're responsible for what you've been taught. When you read the Bible, as soon as you read that, you're responsible to follow that. You're responsible to know that. You've been taught from the Word of God. See, as parents, we expect more from our children as you teach them right. But I think about this too. There's a lot today that are not taught right. You understand? There's a lot of young people. They're not taught right. And we have, it could come from any place, but many times kids that come on our bus routes, and you think, you know, why are they acting that way? Maybe they've not been taught any better. Maybe they're not coming from a Christian home, and they're not reading God's word and praying and spending time with God and teaching them Bible principles. Many times they don't know better. And they need someone to love them enough to teach them what's right. And say, why are you doing that? Kids these days. Well, teach them right. Teach your children. Teach your grandchildren. We could get frustrated with them, but teach them what's right. And then once they're taught, they're held accountable to that because somebody taught them that. Someone took the time. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. See, there's a lot of people that taught me in my life. There's things that you do every day, whether it be as a parent, as a spouse, in your job, and you do things a certain way because someone taught you how to do it that certain way. Maybe they taught you how to load the dishwasher just a certain way, and you can't help but do it that way because somebody taught you that. or the way you mow the lawn, or how you, whatever it is, because someone taught you that way. When it comes to the Bible, when you've been taught right, we're accountable on how to use the Word of God the right way, not to change it. See, today's generation wants to reinvent the wheel, don't they? Well, that used to be right, but it's not now. No, if it was right back then, it's still right today. And we don't need to change it. To take what you've been taught and continue therein. Not to change it, but continue it. And to pass it along to the next generation. Many times that's where it's lost. We have been given much, but we're not passing it on to the next generation. And they're the ones that are being hurt for our lack of obedience to God. Again, the verse says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know right, we've been taught right, God is holding us to a higher level of what to follow. See, we're responsible for what we've been given. Someone's given you the gospel. It's your responsibility to give that to others. Too many times we take, it's right and it's good for me, but I don't want to pass it on to anyone else. Hey, if it's good for you, it's good for others as well. Taking the gospel that was given to you and give that to others, teach them. You say, this generation, in many ways, they don't know the Lord as their Savior. Someone's got to teach them. Take the responsibility you've been given from God's Word. To take God's Word and to pass it along to those that are under you, that you have authority over, you have influence over. Teach them the Word of God. Show them what the Word of God says. You know what's great to do? When someone asks you a question, you say, let me show you what the Bible says about that. Because what do people do today? Well, I heard this, I saw that. Or even worse, you know, someone told you on the news what you're supposed to think or believe, so they just follow it instead of saying, well, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says about this. And to teach it to others. To pass on what we're given about honesty. Hard work. Having character. People today that some of these things are just lost in this generation. People that don't understand that because someone is not teaching them. There's a number of people that have taught me in those areas, and I think of my grandfather, and we go visit him at times at his house, but we knew when we visited Grandpa Rader, we were there to work. We weren't there to play. We were there to work. We'd have fun, and we'd goof off while we're working, but we were there to work. I don't remember ever going there just to play, just to goof off. We were there. It didn't matter if it was Christmas, Thanksgiving, a week of summer break. We were there, and he had projects for us to do. But he teaches us how to work. And if you weren't working, he was on your case in a moment. But I appreciate someone teaching me how to work hard. I think about those teaching, be honest, things that are right, teaching in the Word of God. We need to pass those things along. The things that we've been taught, pass along to others. Once you've been taught, you're now responsible. Once you've been taught, you're now responsible and you know better. See, there's responsibility. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You're responsible for what you've been given. You're not just responsible for what you've been taught, but what you've been given. We started the service with count your many blessings, name them one by one. In today's day, we are so blessed and spoiled in this generation and in this country. Too many people, they're just there to amass wealth for themselves, to keep it for them and give it to no one else. I was talking to someone in our church, actually, and they worked for someone, and this lady that had some amount of wealth, and she passed away. And instead of giving her wealth to, passing on her money to her children or a church or an organization, she passed on her wealth, ready for this, to her cats. I promise you. And her will to give it all to her cats. And so that she'd keep the house so the cats had a place to stay. No joke. Someone to come and take care of the cats and things of that. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Of all the things to waste your money on. If you have cats and you want to keep them alive, that's up to you. But we're given much. What are we doing with it? People that are there just to get rich for themselves, but who are we influencing? Who are we helping with what God has given to us? The Bible says in Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. See, I believe this, that God has given to me so I can give to others. And that's in regards to our finances. God has given to me so I can give back to the work of God, right? God has blessed me because why? You look around and you think, I have more than many others have. And we should be giving to others, influencing, helping others to teach them, but to give. See, we should be an avenue to help and give to others. Isn't that what Jesus did? He would give to others. He would teach them, but he would help them, right? He would feed them. He would heal them, help their needs. Many times that's what our missionaries do, as we read about tonight, and they're building showers and fixing radio stations and all these things. Why? They're trying to help others as they teach in the gospel. Instead of boasting and saying, today or tomorrow, here's what I'm going to do. Boasting, or you know, Instagram post, look what I did, you know, right? Today, how many people, they just want to show their next meal, their next purchase, the next place they went. That's all boastings, right? Isn't it? I just want to share it with my family. No, you're trying to make yourself look better than the person next to you. That's my assumption because I don't do social media. Just wanted to give that plug as well. So no social media and no coffee if you didn't get those, that one from Sunday. But instead of boasting, look how great I am, look what I did. Instead of that, pray and say, God, what would you want me to do? Pray and say, God, I want to follow your will. Is this what you would want for me to have done? Following God's word, following God's will, instead of saying, it's about me, it should be about God. Instead of this is what I'm going to get done, say, God, what do you want me to do in your will? And as the verse is concluded there in chapter 4, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin to do right. Not boasting in ourselves, but boasting in the Lord. Everything that I have, everything that I have came from God. So I have nothing to boast of except for the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this night. Help us, Lord, to boast in you, to put confidence in you, to boast in you, and to follow your will.